The first question I love to ask CEOs is like, what keeps you up at night? What is keeping you wide awake worrying about? And then how can we use marketing to help fix that? Because again, back to what I said before, like marketing used to be in this little bubble, and now we can help every single department in the organization some way or another.
Are you ready to hear business stories and learn effective ways to build relationships, generate sales, and level up your business from awesome CEOs, entrepreneurs, and founders without listening to a long, long, long interview? If so, you've come to the right place. Gresh values your time and is ready to share with you the valuable info you're in search of. This is the I Am CEO Podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Gresh from the I Am CEO Podcast, and I have a very special guest on the show today. I have Amy Winter. Amy, excited to have you on the show.
Great to be here. Thanks so much for the invite.
Yes, super excited to have you on and talk about all the awesome things that you're doing. But of course, before we do that, I want to read a little bit more about Amy so you can hear about some of those awesome things. And Amy has spent the last 25 years helping brands turn uncertainty into opportunity. Whether recession, competitive pressures, market changes, or COVID-19, Amy has worked alongside both B2B and B2C leadership in a variety of industries to build pragmatic and resilient go-to-market strategies while navigating change. She's built multiple in-house marketing teams at early stage tech startups and led them through successful acquisition, and now helps high growth B2B SaaS companies grow as the CEO of Wheels Up Collective, a boutique marketing agency. Her absolute favorite thing to do is to hop on a call and brainstorm with new entrepreneurs and CEOs about how to identify and leverage opportunities that can help their companies grow. And before we were set to do this recording, I was reading a little bit more about Amy. Amy is a former D1 athlete, national champion as a collegiate rower, and also is a competitive equestrian as well, too. And I was listening to one of her interviews, and I think she said her first job was as a horse groomer business at the age of 12. And we had a great conversation when we first connected. So I appreciate her journey and her willingness to share her journey as well, too. So excited to have you on the show, Amy. Are you ready to speak to the IMCO community?
Yeah, I really hope I don't become known as the 12-year-old horse groomer. Like, I need to redeem myself. Can't be my claim to fame.
Hey, there you go. It's such a cool story, but I feel like you've done a lot more since then as well, too. So we'll just add that as an antidote in addition to everything else you've been doing,
deal.
Right? That works. All right, let's rewind the clock a little bit more on how you got started. What a call your story.
Yeah. So I, as you mentioned, I've been in marketing for 25 years and mostly in small companies or startups that were really trying to figure out how to get our footing quickly, whether it was like a new product rollout, whether it was an acquisition, whether it was a new competitor, trying to break into a new use case, new personas. That's like my jam, is figuring out how to make it work when you don't know how it's going to work. And took a slight detour and ended up at a huge, ginormous corporation, and just, it was a terrible fit. Like, it was slow moving, it was political, it just was, and this was in 2018 and 2019. And so in December of 2019, I quit and was going to just take some time off and figure out what I wanted to do. And then COVID hit, and I was talking to one of my good friends, and she had gone through a very similar situation, and we were both getting hit up. We forget in the early days of COVID, like, and there was this scramble to digital. There was this scramble to get online and be able to reach an audience online and talk to an audience online. And so both of us were getting hit up by past colleagues. Can you help us? Can you work on this? Do you want a side hustle? And so, I don't know, we just start talking, and the next thing you know, we're starting a digital agency. Everybody else is baking sourdough bread, and we're like, let's start a marketing company. Not really thinking it was going to be a thing long-term, but 4 years later, here we are and growing faster than ever. And so I always joke when we meet with our early entrepreneur owners and CEOs, no one starts a company because they want to send marketing materials or write emails. Nobody starts a company because they want to learn how to do payroll. So it's definitely been a lot of that learning for me to figure out, okay, I know the marketing part of it, but I was bored with that and was looking for a new challenge. And so the entrepreneurship of running a company and hiring people and figuring out how to grow has been a fun sort of second career. So it's been fun. It's been really fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that, especially because you hear so many times, like you mentioned, the sourdough bread entrepreneurs or people that were starting things. There's so many phenomenal things that, of course, during a time that's not as sunshine and rainbows for a lot of people, but there's usually some opportunity that can come about when there's that level of disruption as we all had experienced. And I really enjoy hearing how those innovations ideas sometimes come about, like during times like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely, you look back and I never thought life would look like it does right now, but I'm happy that it happened the way it did. So,
yeah, absolutely. So you touched on it a little bit, and I imagine you probably have a lot of these conversations on a daily basis where sometimes people are really great at the things that they do. Those things might be sourdough bread, or it might be running a storefront, whatever it might be, or a combination of those things. But usually they're not thinking about the marketing piece or what that looks like or all those things. So I imagine that's where you have a lot of those conversations and are able to build that bridge so that whoever's doing those great things, those great products and services and those teams are able to get that out to the world so that they can get those clients and customers.
Yeah. And I think like marketing has a bad rap from 20 or 30 years ago where it was seen as like a black box where you just throw money at it and who knows if it's working or not. And it's not like that anymore. Like there, you can track the efficacy of your marketing spend. And I think there's an opportunity to be really strategic about marketing and use it as a learning tool. We're always trying to figure out like, how can we run? Sure, we're going to run this marketing campaign, but what are the learnings? What are the tests we can run through it? And we always start with hypotheses about what we think is the way it's going to go, or we think is what the direction the market's going in. And then we really try and use every marketing tactic as a way to test that and to learn from it. And I think that a lot of times, especially in early days or small business days where you have so much on your plate, like you just don't even have the brain space to think about marketing that way. It's kind of like, oh, I just need to get it done. And so I think that's a little bit of a twofer that you can get out of that if you take a minute to think about it like really intentionally.
Yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to drill down a little bit more. Could you take us through like how you're working with your clients, how you're making that impact and be able to make sure that investment goes well? Could you take us through like what those products and services look like?
Yeah, absolutely. We are a full stack boutique marketing agency. We're tuned especially for B2B SaaS companies. And that's only because those sales cycles are fairly consistent. Once you figure them out, they're fairly consistent and formulaic. And so we're pretty good at building that and ramping it quickly. And we're we just have a lot of experience working with those kinds of sales organizations. So that's the little like niche in the world that we've carved out and stuck our flag in that piece of land. I spent 15 years in startups in Seattle, and so know that space and tend to like the pace and the accountability that it brings. So we can do everything from building a website to running demand gen campaigns to PR to graphic design. And we don't have like a standard engagement because everyone's different. Every single company that we work with, by nature of being early stage or dealing with some sort of change, they're all different what they need. And so we end up having a conversation. The first question I love to ask CEOs is like, what keeps you up at night? What is keeping you wide awake, worrying about, and then how can we use marketing to help fix that? Because again, back to what I said before, like marketing used to be in this little bubble, and now we can help every single department in the organization some way or another. And so really thinking about growth holistically and figuring out what programs, whether they're customer facing or internal facing or prospect facing or ecosystem facing, what kind of programs can we run to help drive that growth? They're pretty fun conversations.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it. And do you feel like that's part of what I would like to call your secret sauce? It could be for the organization, yourself, or a combination of both. But do you feel like your ability to not just see that, but also execute that and step into those shoes sets you apart and makes you unique?
I think that people, this is such a cliche answer, but like the people on our team that's our secret sauce. And I think maybe part of that is everybody thinks about it that way. That I think you're right. That is one of our common tenants that we operate under. I think a lot of times companies are in such a time crunch to hire. Like you need extra help so badly. And so you just end up hiring anybody. And I think that's such a short-sighted answer. I think that hiring is the most important thing you do in an organization, whether you're a service organization, whether you're a software company, whether no matter what kind of company you are, the people that work for you, it's so important. And I just challenge business owners to hold the bar really high, because it ends up taking so much more time to handhold somebody who's maybe not ready for the role, or manage somebody who's in trouble, or replace them down the road when you hired the wrong person. And even though it gets so painful when you really need to fill that headcount, I think usually it's worth holding out for and really finding like the right fit culturally and still skill set and personality. And it's really hard. It's hard to hire people. It's really hard to hire good people.
Yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to switch gears a little bit, and I wanted to ask you for what I call a CEO hack. So this could be like an app, a book, or even a habit that you have, but what's something that makes you more effective and efficient?
Yeah. So this one, I was thinking a lot about this because you always ask this question on your podcast, but like my hack is like a to-do list hack. And especially as I did not start a marketing agency because I wanted to learn how to do payroll, or I wanted to learn QuickBooks, or I think that you need to look at your to-do list, which is always way too long, right? And I put everything into four different categories. One is like something that only I can do. There's no one else on the team that I can outsource it to. The second one is something that I would have to learn to be able to do. So books in that case. One of them is something that I can delegate existing on the team. And the fourth one is like something that I actually like to do. And so I think that especially as maybe this is unique to me, I don't know. I'm like a control freak. I'm like a type A control freak. And my co-founder and I started this company together, and we're going to do everything. And you can't, and you need to be able to trust people. And this kind of goes back to where I was saying, you got to hire really good people, and then you got to delegate to them. You have to be a little scared and give them more than you think maybe they can handle, and give them a chance to grow and learn and step up a little bit. But also, I think I need to push myself constantly. I constantly have this inner dialogue with myself with like, is this worth my time to do this? What's the opportunity cost of me having to learn to use this new software because it's for HR, or it's for, there's a million things that I could be spending my time on. And is this really the most important thing? Because I'll tell you, my to-do list is always like 100 miles long. But I think too, you have to make sure that there are things that you just like to do that probably you could delegate, but they're like little mental breaks, or they're easy to, who doesn't love checking something off a to-do list, right? Sometimes maybe it's just me, but I pad the to-do list with like things that I like to do that are easy, and you feel some sort of accomplishment that you got that one little thing crossed off. So I think being like super critical about your to-do list, and being like pretty honest with yourself about what you're good at and what you're not good at, and not just getting overwhelmed by a really long to-do list, is something that you probably have to figure out pretty early on if you're going to be successful in running a business.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. So I wanted to ask you now one of my favorite questions, which is the TO nugget, which if you were to hop into a time machine, what might you tell your younger business self, or potentially you might tell your favorite client?
If I was going to tell myself, we work in tech, I am knee deep in tech, and I wish I had learned the tech more younger in my career. I wish I had prioritized learning the subject matter a little bit better. Like I can hang with a director of product, but I think I would be a better marketer if I really, and I think this applies to any industry, any leader, really understanding what it is you're selling, or the service that you're providing, and really getting as close to the customer as possible and understanding what makes them tick. Because I think that not only does it help you articulate it better and find better solutions, but it can only lead to empathy, right? And I think the more empathetic we can be in general in life, the better the world is. So yeah. See, I'm creating world peace here, Wiggins. Just be empathetic, people.
Exactly. That's a CEO mountain for sure. So what would you now consider to be your answer to my absolute favorite question, the definition of what it means to be a CEO? And our goal is to have different quote-unquote CEOs on this show. So Amy, what does being a CEO mean to you?
Yeah, and I'm going to steal this from another CEO that I used to work for, but he said it, and this is my life goal, is I want to create an environment where the people who work with us can do the best work of their life, the best work of their career. I want to empower them and inspire them and like bust roadblocks out of the way so they come to work and they can do the best work they possibly can. And this kind of goes back to like, you got to hire good people, right? You got to hire good people who want to do good work most days, the vast majority of days. But I find when I can think about empowering the team, then the rest falls into place. If you hire good people and you empower them and you set them up with growth opportunities and give them work that they want to do, that they're good at doing, that gives them advancement opportunities, like the customers are going to be happy. Like that's the easy part, making the customers happy once you do the rest of that. So that's what I challenge myself to do every day. Some days it happens, some days less, but that's my North Star.
I love that. We truly appreciate that definition. Of course, I appreciate your time even more. So what I want to do now is pass you the mic, so to speak, just to see if there's anything additional that you can let our readers and listeners know. And of course, how best they can get a hold of you, find out all the awesome things you and your team are working on.
Yeah. So you said it in the bio, but honestly, my favorite thing to do is talk to young entrepreneurs early in there. And I try to do one a week. I try to take one call a week from somebody. It's not a sales call. I'm not trying to sell you anything. It's just, if you want to pick my brain. So I encourage anybody out there who wants to have a fresh set of eyes or a fresh set of ears to talk through things, like hit me up, send me an email. Let's get something on the calendar. I think there's a scheduling link on our website, but I'd love to have those conversations. But you can find us online at wheelsupcollective.com. We're on all the social media channels as well, and we would love to help you grow.
Awesome. That's awesome. Thank you so much, Amy. Of course, to make it even easier, we'll have the links and information in the show notes as well too, so somebody can take you up on that offer and opportunity. But truly appreciate you for your time, and I hope you have a phenomenal rest of the day.
Thanks, you too.
Thank you for listening to the I Am CEO podcast, powered by CB Nation and Blue 16 Media. Tune in next time and visit us at imceo.co. I Am CEO is not just a phrase, it's a community. Be sure to follow us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and everywhere you listen to podcasts. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating. This has been the I Am CEO podcast with Gresham Harkless Jr. Thank you for listening.